I didn't know if you'd get that reference because you're too young.
The dedication from this guy, by the way, he's joining us tonight, even though he's getting up at about 2 o'clock in the morning to be at the airport for 3 and on a flight internationally at 6.
Yeah, that's it. That's tomorrow morning.
But you really wanted to sacrifice your last night in Toronto with all of these people in front of you. Hey, how about that?
It's not that you guys have, I think, committed a lot more this season coming to games. A lot of you here in this room, you know, big fans. You come to a lot of away games, things like that as well. So sacrifice a lot more of your time, I think, and whatnot to support me. So it's no issue coming on a ride for with Nico up here tonight to meet you guys. And yeah, I appreciate it a lot.
You know, you arrived at the club at a really difficult moment. But what were your first impressions? Because it was an injury crisis. We didn't have many people in the group at all. People coming in left, right, and centre in training sessions. You must have felt, hang on a second, what have I got myself in for here?
Yeah, look, I think everyone was quick to explain to me about how we're in a bit of a crisis right now. So just don't worry about all this that's going on. A lot of chopping and changing. But credit to all the staff and all the boys as well, stayed really professional throughout the whole time. Made my time settling in and everything really quite simple. No real issues, and I was able to integrate straight away with all the lads. And yeah, it was a real pleasure kind of being a part of such a easy to work with group. There's not a lot of egos. There's not a lot of people who, you know, make your life difficult, which I've had in football as well.
Except the head coach, obviously. We all know about his ego.
No, not at all. I think Nashie. Been good. He's been really good for me, for everyone, keeping the squad intact through, like you said earlier, a bit of a difficult first half of the season where, you know, you can't deny we had a lot of injuries, a lot of changes and things like that, but this is a part of football.
In terms of the second half of the campaign, you, as you have mentioned to me a couple of times, a lot of focus on Mo Babouli and his impact on the team, but if you crunch the numbers, this guy, I think, is the root cause of the upturn in our form. If you really take a detailed examination of our results, I think you coming into that defensive setup was the game changer.
Yeah, look, I think I haven't come close, I think, to what Mo's done this season. I can't lie, I'm really, he makes playing football look really easy when it's not a lot of times, and carry us in a lot of key moments in the second half. It's a pity we couldn't take it into the postseason, because I think, in my opinion, we could have gone all the way and won it. However, it's just timing, isn't it, in football? And if a player like Mo did come in a bit early and all the other lads, then who knows? But I think it shows really good signs for next season with a really good group. If we can keep a lot of good core players here, and then a lot of them, as it seems, are really happy and enjoying their time at the club, especially the new guys like myself. So there's no reason why we can't challenge.
You came into the CPL with a really great resume from the A-League. Very free, competitive place to play your football. But what will you be telling everyone back home now when you get there and take a little break in terms of your first impressions of the Canadian domestic product?
Yeah, if I'm honest, I've spoken before about kind of a similar thing where I've a lot of lads probably from down there. It's quite far away. Obviously, Australia, it's not too close in proximity, so we don't kind of keep up a lot about Canadian football. We know about the MLS and how the rapid growth they've had there. However, I didn't personally know anything about the CPL. Obviously I did when I was signing, I did my research. I didn't just take me no problem. But once I found more about it and now have had the opportunity to live it through and play my football here. It's a rapidly growing league. It's a league where they're producing a lot of good young quality players and talent, which can only benefit the country itself as well, and with the World Cup coming up and everything, it's massive for Canadian football. So it's a pleasure to be part of it as well and be living here in this moment where it's growing so fast.
What are the standout moments for you from that kind of second half? We obviously had a great number of results that stand out for various reasons, but is there a couple of ones that immediately stand out for you?
As far as results, I think there was a good win over Forge. Not the last time we played them, sadly enough, but the time before. We had a kind of really good win. I thought we were really dominant. Good moment in Halifax. It's hard to pick where we had a kind of big win there. It's hard to pick kind of the best game. I just think for a lot of these lads, understanding and changing your mentality midway through, knowing that our back's against the wall, and you know, sometimes it happens in life and in football, in professional sports, so you just have to kind of roll your sleeves up and dig deep, and especially the confidence of new people coming in, reinstill faith in what we have as a group, I think really helped and created some really exciting performances where perhaps we're lacking to score goals at the start of the year. We're able to really score goals in abundance and actually probably concede even more, sadly, even though I was a part of that. But Nico as well got injured and things like that didn't help. But I'm really happy. Yeah.
There was a number of guys that came in midway through the season. You weren't by yourself. Lewis came in, Ronan, Kevin Santos, and it must have been particularly satisfying when you also saw the contributions that they made. So when you see Lewis scoring a couple of goals, and it's kind of you guys together, and it's very collaborative, and again a reflection of team spirit.
Yeah, it's special when obviously my housemate, I live with Lewis and Ronan, so to see them boys come in and do so well straight off the bat, really have good positive impacts in the group, and they're good characters too, so when they score, it's everyone gets up them, and it's really, yeah, it puts a smile on everyone's face. I think they work hard every day, and they're both good professional kids with great attitudes. They're young too, so to see them excelling is special.
You've certainly taken them under your wing. I mean, Ronan effectively is Australian now, I think, from how much time he spends with you and Lewis, and Noel Verhoeven as well, so you're really doing your bit for Australia here and flying the flag proudly, picking up a couple of Canadians along the way.
Trying to. Sure.
So I'm guessing that you're going to bring them over, have a good time now in the winter, show them what Australia is all about.
I told them the offer's there. I'd love to have them out in Australian summer this off season. We'll see what they can do.
Biggest question, I guess, is what's left to talk about is when you're going to get the first goal for this club.
Yeah, I've already scored an own goal, so I was flying with that straight off the bat.
I did want to mention it, but now that you've brought it up.
So I helped
you took it very well.
Helped forge into a good win in my first game for them, so that's quality. Buzzing about that, yeah. But honestly, yeah, it's hopefully soon. But at the moment, I'm more concentrating on getting more clean sheets and just being consistent and injury-free kind of all year and being available to help the team. It's more important, I think, in my position, for sure.
I want you to get a decent night's sleep, so I'm concerned, having dragged you all the way here, that I want you to get home safely. Give it up, please. Task more to do this. Well, season. Our next guest, how to introduce him? Well, so many adjectives spring to mind. Compelling, captivating, entertaining, engaging. And also, who knew he was also an investigative reporter on the side? Give it up, please, for Cody Pearson.
Cody, nice to meet you.
I kind of look a bit familiar, but can't quite place you. You wanted the divide between us.
It's that task.
It's just a little
real time.
It looked a little bit too cozy. Yeah, it's probably a smart move.
It's safe.
Hey, you've had a pretty interesting season. Take it back, because you've worked with Nashi before, the likes of Oliver Minutel too. So I'm guessing the start of the year you were looking at these kind of additions and saying, hey, this feels a little bit exciting.
Yeah, definitely exciting. I was excited to just get us all together and get working together again. I really enjoyed my time out in Calgary when I worked with, obviously, Nashi as a coach and Oliver as a teammate. To be honest, Oliver was someone I was like looking up to at Cavs because I knew he had a lot of experience. So to have him back at this club, I'm a bit older now in my career, I thought he was going to be a really good addition for all the boys in the locker room. So that's a side note there anyway. So I was just excited to get it going. And obviously, I played under Nashi's system, and I think he could get the best out of me. So. Listen, I want this season to start as soon as I possibly could.
The actual campaign began very brightly because there was a number of notable victories. The ones against Forge and Calgary at home spring to mind immediately. And I guess it really galvanized a sense of team spirit. And I think just before the injuries began, there was a sense of belief that, you know, we could probably do something very, very special come the end of the campaign.
Yeah, I thought when we were having our preseason, I thought there's a lot of exciting parts, and I thought our team was going to do very well. I thought we had a good team on paper as well. And then our start of the season kind of confirmed my initial thoughts, and I think the group's initial thoughts. And then, like you said, injuries happened, and we kind of had to pivot as we did. But yeah, I thought the start of the season was, I kind of expected it from what I saw in preseason.
There were a number of personalities added to the group late on in preseason. Well, Tass came a little bit later, but we'll get to him, don't worry. I know you guys are tight. But the likes of Austin Ricci and also a certain Osaze Di Rosario. I'm wondering what the impression was when Osaze came in. Obviously, big name. Could he live up to this? He's just a kid, doesn't have many minutes under his belt, and then he starts the season and it's a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, obviously he comes into preseason there and you know the name, right? You kind of, but at the same time, you're like, okay, he's a young kid. No matter who his dad is, his dad's not playing, he's playing. But early on, you saw bright moments in preseason. I think that obviously got the coach's attention. I mean, I didn't make the decision to sign him, they did. So there was obviously a lot of exciting things. As he signed, he became more of the Osaze we know. You know, Osaze on trial was a lot different than, hey, I got a guaranteed contract now, I'm going to come out of my shell a bit. So I saw a different side of the guy. Listen, I love the guy, I love his attitude, but he is a bit of a, he's wild. So a good wild though. Listen, I think that's his mentality and his personality is the reason why he banged in so many goals this year. So he did the work, he earned it, and that's how he got in the spot he is, you know, where he is now, team of the year, whatever he's going to win. But what was the question again? I don't even know, I'm rambling.
I think the question was,
Osaze's a good player,
great. Guys. Yeah, it was something along those lines. Canadian Championship came along because we obviously had a couple of really, really superb victories. You were key to those. And then it lined up a semi-final against Vancouver Whitecaps. But before that, you had a little bit of history with them. And I guess it's you haven't talked about this story for a while. For a while, it seemed that all you were doing was talking about this story. For the people in the crowd who are unfamiliar with what happened, can you just take them through it in a little bit of a quick little soundbite?
Quick?
Quickish.
We had an away game in Victoria. I played for York United then. We played that game after the Whitecaps decided to sign me on loan. They had a couple of COVID cases in their camp. It affected their goalkeepers, thank God. So they gave me a call, and I quickly went down there, sat on the bench for a game that they played against Charlotte, quickly flew back because we had a cup game against Pacific, and we were able to play that game and get the win. So very successful weekend. I lost at the Whitecaps, so I was undefeated with York, so that's why I came back from York till I die.
I think you also were a little bit crucial to that cup win when you came back from your MLS sojourn, so.
That's going to be half. You're going to have to explain that one.
You're being a little bit humble, I think. Your performance is excellent. But the Canadian Championship, it ended up us reaching the semifinals against the Caps, and you coming face to face with them again. In hindsight, I mean, is the cup competition really special and you always want to play those games? Or if you knew how the injury situation was going to go, would you have sacrificed the Canadian Championship run if it meant getting guys back quicker?
Oof. No. No, I think that competition is so special. I think as players, I mean, I'm going to speak for myself here. Like, it's a competition that I'm always looking forward to at the end of the year. The way it was, we had to win four games and we could lift a trophy and then be in CONCACAF Champions League. So, no, I think there's a reason why we really put a lot of focus in it. There's a lot on the line. And I mean, look at the big moments that, you know, as fans, as players, we were able to celebrate in this cup run. You know, the two shootout wins against Ottawa and then Pacific. I mean, I know everyone, my family was buzzing about it, made them all excited. And then we got the opportunity to play against an MLS club and give them a hell of a game, in my opinion, as well. So all very bright moments. And you know, looking how the season ended up, you look back at this season, like, wow, that was something that was really special.
When the injury crisis began to really take hold, there were a couple of other elements too. Certain Mr. Abzi departed for the French second division. Lowell obviously went to Vancouver as well. So there was a couple of other changes. We had to wait until the transfer window opened, which was painstakingly slow. But was there always a sense that you guys could get through it? There was always a sense of belief in the camaraderie that you shared and the ability within the group?
100%. And I mean, there was that, you know, streak of games, and that's when we were having all those injuries, you know, where results weren't cornered away. That's as blunt as you could really put it. But every single game going into those games, I always felt like, listen, we could win this game, and like, there's no reason why we shouldn't win this game. It didn't happen, but like, the belief was always there, and I think I'm echoing the belief of, you know, the entire locker room. Like, no one was moping around. If you saw our practices, if you saw our pregame, you saw the attention we had in the meetings. Like, everyone was fully invested and believed we're going to win the next game, right? If you don't have that belief, you're kind of head down, you know, crappy practices. You're not as in tune to the meetings and stuff like that. But that's not what I saw every single day. So results, it's the way it is. That's football. But belief, 100%.
Was there a turning point that you pinpointed for the upturn in form in the second half of the season?
Well, if we look at the stats, it's when I went down. I would hope that's not the reason, but I think, again, once we got, like you said, we were waiting for those players to come on through, and they came in. Naturally, it's not going to work like that. It doesn't happen. You don't just jump in a league without any chemistry with these players, and it's going to change everything. But, you know, credit to those guys that did come in. Again, now I'm talking about the Taz, Lewis. Don't remind me who I'm probably missing.
Kevin,
a couple of them.
Ronan.
Kevin, Ronan, of course. They came in, and then we beat Cavs, and I think the Cavalry game, away at Cavalry, that was maybe our second or third week that we were all together with that, you know, quote unquote, new crew. And then we got a huge away win there. And that was the half, like the middle point of the season. And then I remember saying in an interview, like, you know, we're trying to turn around results from there. And then from there, you know, Mo Babuli gets added in, which only sparks things even more. And then we go on this tear. So technically the Cavs result was when it started. But again, with the addition of all those players, that's kind of, it's not necessarily a moment, it's naturally what happened with the team.
What's interesting, you mentioned the game against Cavs, because for the majority of the second half, we were down a man because Jordan got sent off. So if ever there was an excuse to down tools and say, ah, you know what, I'm not feeling it today, you look at a bench where there's still not much in the way of reinforcement, you could say, ah, maybe take it easy for the second half, maybe get a draw, maybe lose 2-1, hey, moral victory. But it was the fact that you guys were so cohesive and you got the 3 points that day and didn't let anything slip.
And that's exactly where I'm saying the belief was always there in that locker room, because if Jordan gets a red card at that point, if there's no belief in the locker room, naturally everyone's heads will go down, right? But we had that belief, and then that's why a performance like that happens, right? If we don't have that belief, we're not able to, you know, persevere in a difficult time with Jordan getting a red. But we kind of stick together as a team. We have Jordan's back. That night he ends up having a kid as well, so it's like, the greatest gift we could give him is him not going home thinking he let the team out. We get the win. We could, you know, support him because he's been there for so much, especially even last year, if you think about what Jordan has done for this club. So I think that was, it might have even brought us together. Now that I'm saying it out loud like this, it's such a beautiful moment.
For a split second, I thought that Jordan was going to name his firstborn child after you because of the caliber of your performance in Calgary.
Listen, I was telling him all, once I found out his kid was, or his wife was pregnant, I've been saying Nico's a good name.
Strong, yeah. Solid name, dependable.
Tons of Jamaicans I know named Nico.
Talk a little bit about Mo, because I remember the first training session that he was a part of, and he walked through the doors, and it was like everybody's, you know, everybody was just walking on air for a little bit, and it seemed to carry right throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, I actually found out about Mo's signing when I was getting x-rays on my ankle, so talk about a pick-me-up. I was like, wicked, just quickly get this ankle all back together so I can play with this sick player. Speak on Mo, is that what you want? I mean, I'm a talented player. Obviously, everyone respected him when we went up against him. I'm a hell of a lot happier that I'm not going up against him now, and he's helping me hopefully win some games. The thing about Mo, he's a very talented player. He's one of those players that, you know, when I'm in practice, he might do something. I'm like, wow, that's a special moment. You don't really see that with every single player. But on the other end, Whitman, it's kind of why I like the guy even more, is he's such a humble guy, regular, normal guy. And I like that. So very humble. You wouldn't know that he's this big time player and I mean, you guys know Mo's career. He's done a lot.
He's played with Tristan Henry, for goodness sake.
There you go. Humble guy. But no, so
speaking
for those
of
two
humble
reasons,
guys.
Good player and a good guy. I mean, you're good in my books.
How's the injury? How's the recovery?
It's great.
So the next question.
It's great. I'm right on track. Yeah, I don't really have anything. I'm gonna be healthy. I'm gonna keep playing. I'm not retiring. This is just part of the game.
Hooray for Nico not retiring. special word of thanks, I guess, for the supporters, because you walked away with their Player of the Year award in Ottawa, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, those Christmas cards I sent them really paid off, I guess. I got some votes.
I heard there were a couple of checks inside the Christmas cards.
There definitely wasn't any checks.
White caps don't pay that well?
Yeah, no comment.
Hey, thank you for everything this season.
Thank you, everyone here.
Thank you for John's office, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Who would like to hear something from our head coach and our GM, CEO, and president? Shall we summon them to the front of the room? What are the highlights that stand out immediately for you?
Obviously the Canadian Championship, getting to the semi-final and going to play Whitecaps away. That was a big one for the group as a whole. I thought we had a great start, and the two home games earlier in the year against Calgary and Forge were two big highlights. Just it showed me what the team was capable of. And then the run in the second half of the season was phenomenal. The guys could have dropped their heads halfway through the year. We were kind of fumbling a little bit, and we got new players came in and gave us a little bit of energy and finished the season off really, really well.
Because I guess a big thing that we have to establish is this was your first season as a head coach, and that means you also have to establish your own coaching staff. You have to bring in guys who you haven't worked with before, certainly in a coaching situation, and gel with them as well as gelling with the playing staff. So you must be immensely proud of that side of the season as well.
Yeah, yeah. I knew Mauro from working with him as a player. Camilo, I didn't know coming in, but he was a real good, positive addition to the staff, or my staff, I should say. And then Barry, who I didn't know, and it was just kind of one of those searches, came across him, had a good Zoom meeting with him, and flew him out. And it took a bit of time because I started preseason kind of on my own with Camilo, and then Mauro came in 3 weeks later, and Barry and Michael Higby, our sports scientist, came in like 3 weeks after that. So they were just coming in dribs and drabs. So it took time for the group to get together and the staff to kind of get to know each other and get to know how we work as a whole. And by the end of the season, it was phenomenal working with them. They're all coming back. And I love the staff. And I think we're in a good place both on and off the pitch.
On the coaching course, the coaching courses that you've done in your career, is there a module for what happens when you only have 13 fit players for match day?
No, there isn't. So that made it tough, I wasn't prepared. But it's just one of those seasons where a lot of injuries. And then, you look over the bench and our bench was, three kids of 19, two 19-year-olds and an 18-year-old. So that, in a way, we weren't quite ready at that time and we were still using them. So they got some valuable minutes, but when you're playing six central midfielders, because you have to, it made things difficult at the time. But at least, to be fair, the guys worked real hard. We had a number of, I think we had six clean sheets almost in a row at one point, playing a lot of players out of their natural position. So we were grinding out some results. We just, at that moment, I think we went 6-7 games without scoring a goal, and that was a problem. But it's going to be that way when you have a lot of players playing out of position. And it just made it tough to really create enough. And because of the confidence when we did create, we, for whatever reason, we just weren't putting our chances away. So I think that part of the season kind of put us behind the eight ball. And even though we had a great second half, we just didn't quite have enough time to recover.
Because on the other side of that, you're trying to build out what you think of as your coaching personality and your coaching philosophy, and then you find yourself in a situation where you have to park your philosophy and being Pep Guardiola in the CPL and just get through games.
Yeah, it was tough because you saw the way I want to play in the last half of the season. The first half had to chop and change just to try and get results, and couldn't really press much because the same guys are playing week in, week out with a lot of midweek games, so it made it tough on the guys. But I said they put in the effort, they worked real hard, they had a great mindset, it was just a tough go. But I think that mindset you saw in those moments when the new players come in, that mindset carried on, and that was why we were able to have a strong finish of the season.
Gus, in terms of the mid-season points, when Martin is saying, how long till the transfer window opens? How long is it now? How many days have passed? How frenzied was it to try to not only bring players in, but the right players in, you could actually make an immediate impact?
Yeah, I think some of it was planned and some of it we knew things were going to happen. So with Abzi's exit, we were able to arrange with Poe that he would go after the cup game. And I think the frustration in that was that obviously the window's closed, there's only Canadian free agents we can sign and bring in at that moment in time. So it's a little bit of a trade-off in what we have to do, in that do we make a snap decision very much for the now, or are we a little bit more patient and wait to pull the trigger on guys that we believe are longer term solutions? And it wasn't easy, and I think Martin deserves an awful lot of credit for actually, as a first year head coach, having sort of the confidence in the club, the ownership, everyone else, that they have his back, and that, look, we're going to get this right. We're going to bring the right people in for sustained success and not look at something that's very, very short term. And ultimately, I don't think would have served us in the correct way. I think the guys that we brought in the mid-season, we managed to do it in the right way. So Ronan Crapp, we have to wait till, I think it's the 3rd of July it was when the window opened, but we're able to get him in that little bit before. And Ronan hits the ground running because he's away with the squad in Vancouver on that sort of Canadian Championship game. He gets a feel of the place. He's training. He's sort of, and that helps him fit in pretty seamlessly. It's the most insane run of luck and injury I've ever seen. And from the very beginning of the year, when we look at trying to be the good guys, quite frankly, and help Forge out, coming in a little bit earlier than we wanted to in pre-season, so we could have a couple of games with them and help them in their CONCACAF preparations for Champions League. That cost us because we lost players to concussion that never recovered, and that hurt. We then go out west to Vancouver and out to the island as well for pre-season camp. Mikey Pedrazzo catches COVID pretty badly. And is stuck and has to isolate, and that slows a number of other squad members down with close contacts as well. Mateo Hernandez gets a particularly bad sort of knock as well, and really threw Mateo's rhythm out. Mateo gets that compounded with pretty harsh red card in the first game, which he reacted poorly, and that's a separate issue in terms of his suspension being extended. And then Max as well in pre-season gets a knock.
Mark is like generous.
Yeah, he gets kicked by someone in a purple shirt, which was a little bit nasty for a pre-season game. But to be honest, like Max wasn't the Max that we knew of the season before. As a result of that, he didn't get the chance to get consistency and a run of games in and everything there. So there are a lot of things there that threw us up against it. But with that brings opportunity, and I think some of the guys we brought in, right down to Austin Ricci, who he'd been brilliant in terms of in a really, really tough year for him personally. He's just rolled his sleeves up, got going, got on, worked really hard on his rehab and everything else again. But when he was fit and with the squad, really did contribute. And up into sort of that sort of Forge game with Seba's goal, he was great off the bench. We then thought we were getting Austin back to full steam as well, and unfortunately, we thought he was through his ACL troubles, but it turns out when he's had his second surgery that the first one wasn't taken and it was going to go at some point. And we were just unlucky in that he had been in with us for six, seven, even 8 weeks or so before he signed, and then got that 3-4 week run, it just happened then. So insane, never seen a run of injuries like it. I think the bit that Martin had looking down the line at the bench and sort of seeing younger guys on there, I think for that, that's something we've got to look at as a league. I think development permits are what they say. They're for the development of footballers. They're not necessarily a first-team football solution. And we've got to have a look at that, particularly with the age group we're looking at now. If we're looking at signing under-18s onto development permits this year and last year, they're kids that, unfortunately, the situation we've all find ourselves in, they've not played a lot of football in the last 2 or 3 years. So for them to go straight into senior football is a very big ask, and we need to recognise that and look at how we support it. For the betterment of the league, for not for any one team, but for competitive balance and for making sure that these are addressed at the right time so that we get the best product on the field.
The injury thing, I know probably a lot of people in the room say, God, they're just talking about injuries all the time. This is ridiculous. Let's move on. Just to put this into context, there were games that we were playing where you were meeting members of the matchday squad for the first time on the morning of the game. That's how bad it had got.
Yeah, about 3 times that happened, yeah. So Cyrus Rawlings was one, and Javier, I can't remember his last name.
George,
that's right, yeah. And then there was a bunch of U18s that I was meeting, basically, just to fill out a bench. So it was an interesting year. And in my previous 3 years in the league, I never used a development permit once. So we used, I think, 8 this year, because or 8 at different times.
Because the other side of that is during a game, when a player is in the red zone and really wants even a 5-minute, 10-minute break, and he looks across at a substitute's bench and knows, I'm not getting any help here, I'm just going to have to grind and try and get through it somehow. And probably even to the detriment of their own fitness levels too.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough balance because you can put other players at risk, and that's why Seba got injured at the stage he did, because he was getting overplayed and we just didn't have reinforcements at the time. So unfortunate for him. I think it was a hamstring injury and kept him out for 2 months, I think. So, yeah, it's tough to make that balance, but it's also unfair to put a kid in that's not ready. It's just not the situation you want to put that kid in either. So it's a tough time and trying to balance it, but, it was difficult for everyone at the club at the time.
You still have to put your faith in a lot of young players at key moments in the season, but those young players were also without so many veterans around them because of all the guys who were suffering with injury. It was those older guys who seemed to be getting the brunt of it. So how proud are you of all those guys like the Isaiahs and the Osazes obviously as well, and the Romans later in that season who came in, and really without those older leaders around them to mentor them a little bit, were still able to conjure great performances?
Yeah, absolutely. They did really well, you know, Osazi especially, and Ronan as well coming in and doing really well, a young player. But don't forget that Lewis is a really young player too, and Edu was playing some moments in his position, out of his position, just because we needed to. So a lot of guys were just filling a hole that needed to be filled at a time. So it was a good experience for them, but it was also tough for them, right, to do a job out of position to try and get through games. So they put the effort in. They did everything they could, and at times it hurt us in results, but they did their job to the best of their ability, and it was a good experience for them.
You talk about character and spirits. Were you ever concerned with that in terms of the locker room?
Yeah, I can't lie, there was a moment. I think right after the Whitecaps game, and right around then, I knew there was something coming because guys were looking tired. It was tough to keep guys fresh because just playing so many minutes and so many games, Saturday, Tuesday. And they managed to get themselves through the Whitecaps game and with a good performance. And then after that game, we had, I think, definitely 2 games, I think, but maybe 3 where we fell off the map. Guys had just gone physically more than anything. And then obviously the mental side comes because of the physical, but we were able to readjust them. I think we had a break there of 8 days between games, and we were able to refresh the group and come back strong. And then I think the next game we got Tass in and Ronan in and Lewis in and Kevin in, and just when the reinforcements come, you can see guys relax a bit more, knowing that, okay, we can go out, we know there's reinforcements coming off the bench or in some cases starting. So they were massive additions to the group at the time. And I think other than those three games, the mentality of the group was brilliant all year.
In terms of Mulbahu, the story is pretty incredible. We were just talking about this yesterday. Yeah. I'm not sure how many of the details is known by the wider supporters group, but some of these deals, we always joke about Harry Redknapp sticking his head out the car window and coming out of the training session with Wiener Dieter. Some deals just come out of thin air and you just go with the momentum, and this seemed to be one of those moments.
Yeah, I think I rang Nashi on his way into training about 9:30 in the morning and said, I don't think Ford's are going to re-sign Babu, and I think they're going to go somewhere else. I think we got a shot. And Nashi went, well, let's see, in terms of like, obviously taken. And I was like, all right, fine, fair enough. Two phone calls that morning. Third phone call was Nashi, just he's coming off the training pitch, and said, yeah, Mo will be at training at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's done. I think he was actually a bit surprised. But Mo, literally before he had signed the contract, said, all good, what time do you want me tomorrow? And so we were, and I think he's just maintained that since he came in. It's just like, yeah, great. We've agreed what I've been asking for. We've agreed and genuinely agreed on what his value is in this league, what he brings as a player. And he's been great. He's been put it all in every day, worked very, very hard. And I think it gave the group another lift at a time when we're already on a little bit of an uptick. And it's important to remember that a lot of the guys in the group had already dug themselves out that hole before Mo got in. So the win in Cavalry, at Cavalry, and the win in Halifax were actually pre-Mo. And then, so the guys had dug themselves out of that, and then that extra little bit of momentum that Mo brought was very, very important when we look at the run in and everything else like that. And it's now sustaining it. And sort of like, we're not going to get that shot of adrenaline next year. Mo's here from the start. And so it's then building, adding more pieces, and just great getting ready to go again.
Because I guess you've played with players in your own career, maybe even coached them as well, where it's not necessarily everything that they do on the field, but it's their personality type, that they just have a special aura about them that has an impact on everyone around them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's special kind of personality, special players, like guys that are glued to a team. And, like you said, the team was on a rise, and Mo was just that added bit of glue to cement what we were already building. And he was phenomenal when he came in. Fit in with the group really, really well. The guys really liked him and took to him, as did the other four guys that came into the transfer window. They seamlessly fit right into the group. They were brilliant, attitude, you know, personality. They brought everything they could to help the franchise, all five of them. It was big to get all five of them in. Mo's numbers were pretty impressive down the stretch.
And one guy as well that we've not mentioned, actually, just share the credit out and equal credit to the guys that came in. Paris G as well was phenomenal as well. We've not mentioned also him, some of the service he brought in terms of, still remember that really got that going against Forge. That ball in for Asaze was pretty special, and he's just been all effort and just a really, really good guy around the environment and what he's been here as well.
Before we get to some questions that supporters have submitted, I did want to ask both of you for some of your favourite goals. I asked you this the other day, fudged the answer, so I'll give you a second go at it. So of course, if you want to tell me your favourite goal of the season, or maybe two or three, because you've scored some absolute bangers.
It's been some really good goals. I think in the, and I said this earlier on, because it's on the video there, I think Oliver Minutel's goal against Cavalry, that header's really, really underrated. The build-up play, it's a nice little bit of link-up before it. It's a great sort of clipped ball in from Isaiah, and it's a really difficult but really well-taken header from Ollie. And then, I think, uh, I think Chris knows goal against Forge with Mo's switch of play, Roden chasing it down. And Chris know at that point, like, he scores one a fortnight later or something, and people think he's this left foot specialist. But it was good to see that one go in at Forge, because I've seen a lot of those end up in the car park at Ontario Soccer as well. So
it was, a lot of car alarms just going off.
The thing was, like, it's just Chris though, when he scores, the joy on his face as well is always good value. So that those would be big ones. Lots of good goals, but lots of good moments. And some of it is not so much the goal, but the reaction of everyone, and actually seeing how much that they're in it together. And there's a good group of lads who genuinely like each other. Pretty important as well.
You have any fresh opinion on goals of the season?
Yeah, the Sevens goal was a nice one. Against Forge, the 1-0. The little 1-2 down the middle, and sold about three guys.
Just by standing still?
Yeah. And around the keeper, that was a good goal right in front of the fans. So that was a really good goal and a really good moment.
Well, your favorite one that you mentioned to me yesterday is a really interesting, the goal header.
Yeah, it was just a good team play. We built up. I think that was the one that was about 15 to 20 passes and ended up with a back post header. So there was a couple goals this year, and I can't remember all of it. We had a good string of passes, broke a team down, good ball, and a finish. And I think that header was one of the ones that was really good.
Special word maybe for Osaze Di Rosario, nominated for Best Canadian U21 Player of the Year by the Canadian Premier League. At the start of the season, he was only scoring goals from 18 yards or further out, and then bit by bit, the poacher's instinct started to develop a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It was an interesting one, because he came into preseason and his all-around game was really good. I remember having discussions with Gus when we were in Vancouver, saying he's doing everything but scoring goals. So he came back, said, come back to your training. I was umming and ahhing about him, and I had an interesting conversation with him on the pitch. I said, look, you're doing everything. You're holding the ball, you're running behind, you're a handful for everyone, but it's just not scoring goals. It's like the one thing that I need. And he goes, coach, I'll score goals for you. So we really needed a striker at that point, because we knew Will was going with the national team. And Mark Bracer had unfortunately a concussion. So we called Gus and said, let's go with him. He's doing everything except for score goals right now. He's promising he'll score goals. So. He had two bangers in his first three games, I think, from distance. And then, it was a conversation I remember having, and I said, you know, goal scorers need to be in around the 6-yard box, and you're not there enough. You know, you're scoring bangers, but you'll get two or three, maybe four in a season from that range if you're lucky. You got to score in around the 6-yard box, and he got it in the end. He scored a number of good goals, the header last week, and two last week that should have counted. And then, he had a number of goals, though, in and around the 6-yard box. He's starting to add that to his game.
The referees did actually admit in the post-match review that he should have got the goal on Sunday as well. So.
Always hated Ottawa. Anyway. No, I love referees. Very misunderstood people. Osaze's goal in Calgary, I think, always stands out for me, that winner, because it's Lewis on that left side, cuts back onto his right, disguises it, catches everyone off, and then it's that impeccable poacher's finish. I'd say near post, and that's it. Game winner.
Yeah, no, it was a difficult finish. It was surprising, got so much power on it, going with the outside of his right foot, just stabbing it past the keeper, so to speak. And it was, and people talked about it earlier, it was one of those games that we had to fight tooth and nail. I think that was the moment that kind of, bit of gel for the whole group and allowed us to kind of go on and finish and end the season the way we did.
Okay, enough of the softball questions. It's time for the real difficult stuff that's submitted by you guys. So here we go, okay? I've got nothing to do with this. I'm just reading what the fans sent in, okay? Probably ghost question here. Regarding the new stadium at Woodbine, what's the situation looking like for improved public transport access from downtown? losing the nearly direct connection for York Lane Stadium, so it's not easily replaced, but is there anything on that logistics wise that is on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, Woodbine remain in pretty advanced negotiations with Metrolinx, and there's been various bits of news back and forward as I've chatted to Jim Lawson and Will Flessing at Woodbine on that. That's progressing very, very well. So in terms of a direct rail link, that will be replaced. There will be a GO train stop at Woodbine. And I think it'll actually be quicker to get to Woodbine from Union Station than it would be Union to York Lines. So that will be a massive part of it. And that sort of stop on the GO train will obviously extend out the other way, I think to Kitchener-Waterloo, out on that line. So that opens up an even bigger marketplace for us as a football club. And also some other elements that sit there at Woodbine, which are massively exciting. And Martin over there a couple of weeks ago, looking at the site and looking at where it's located, what they're looking at in terms of retail precinct, food, drink, entertainment, everything that sits there. So we remain in really, really good discussions, really, really good contact with the group at Woodbine, with Jim Lawson there, who is obviously a huge advocate and fan of the league, with his small ownership stake in Forge as well. And we're now at the point where we're hoping to move that along. We've had some very initial discussions with various levels of government and the city as well, about funding for that. And so we hope to progress those, and I hope to have much more formal news soon. But look, I think a lot of this stuff is very challenging in a election cycle. I'm very close to an election cycle, but
promises won't actually come to fruition.
No comment. I really support all these politicians, the ones to help us. So it's just challenging. The timeline for all these things is very difficult, but there's a big event in just under 4 years' time now, 3.5-ish 4 years' time. In a World Cup in this country, that Canada's got to get moving and start building some infrastructure for it. I've said this before, but you look at the quality of some of the cities in the United States that have missed out as host cities. Canada's got to get its act together and get the infrastructure there for teams to play and train at, and also their own national team as well, to have facilities on both coasts and really develop players in the long run.
I guess as well, with a stadium in the GTA, there are so many layers that it's going to require patience, it's going to require a little bit of long-term strategy, and just not having to
the greatest thing in terms of patience and things on the stadium is it's zoned in terms of, and that's the number one thing when you're looking at this and you're looking at land use and everything else. The parcel of land we are speaking about is zoned for a stadium, for sports and entertainment purposes, as a result of that being on the Woodbine site. So we are way ahead of the game on that, and really, really, really exciting times. And I'd love to say more, I can't say more, but you stand on the site and you see the possibilities that this is and what it would mean for us as a football club, but genuinely, what it would be for us as a league in terms of having that venue and another venue, a little bit like Ottawa, where people have that massive entertainment complex that is part of this. And I think you need that in the GTA as well. There's a lot of competition for your entertainment dollars. And so we've got to put a really quality product out there for people to turn up to.
Really easy question for you here. What's the missing piece from the club that's keeping us from being the top of the table team?
I told you, I've nothing to do with me, it's just these guys.
Now? There's not too many now. No, I think we're in a good place at the moment. I think the addition of Mo is really big. There's not many attacking players in the league like him. and I think you saw that down the stretch. I think the players we brought in have been really solid. And I think the big thing now is to keep as many people, many players of this group together that we finished the season with. And now can we just add that little bits to take us over the edge, right? So a position, for example, get a left-footed left back, which we've not had since Abzi left. So that's something we're looking at, and it looks pretty good in that position right now. But yeah, I think other than that, I mean, there's a few. We'll try to bring in some more pieces, but I think it's just filling in the gaps of what we have. I think we have a really good team right now.
But also, you always come back to the parity within the league, too, where the gap between the teams is really nil when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. So, effectively, one or two results, it's you're right back in the mix of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's the parity in the leagues is very good right now. I think, like you say, if we had a couple more results, we'd be right there. So, I expect to be right there next year. Challenging. I think we have the squad to do it. And, like I say, it's just keeping as much of it together as we can, and then if we can add a few more pieces, we're right there.
One interesting thing, because I know it's cropped up in wider CPL discussion, has been the U21 minutes, because we smashed our way through 6,000. Osaze had more than the league mandate himself, similar to Isaiah and Max last year. But if you look at the league table, you flip it and someone's the acts in reverse. So hey, if you've got older players, maybe it works better. So talk to me a little bit about the mindset there.
I think, look, we've done a phenomenal job producing players, and you look at Abzi as someone who came in, really, really has done well by that rule. Yes, we're always gonna look, when this league was launched, to identify talent, develop it, but this under 21 minutes rule, it does put a real focus on it. It's very necessary for us as a league, because look, we're ambitious, we want to expand, the league wants to get bigger, but to do that, the playing pool has to get bigger in when we're looking at adding teams in 2, 3, 4, 5 years time. That means we need more peak age Canadians. And so this rule is very important for that, because without that, where are these guys going to get the playing opportunities between now and then? So that side of it, and that being said, I think Pacific's a really good case study in this. When you look at what they've done themselves initially in years 1, 2, and 3, and then how some of their players have gone out through the league. We have Noah at the club. We had Baldy here on loan as well. Terran Campbell, Hodge down at Forge as well. These guys who've sort of benefited from that rule and then taken the next jump in their career somewhere else and spread around amongst league. I think that will happen more. It's happened ourselves with Cedric. Lowell's gone on now. Osaze is graduating out of that program now. Isaiah the same. Max graduated out of it last year. So it's there. It's massively important, I think, and we're at a point now where it's not necessarily going to be a cornerstone next year where we top that table. I think we've done that. We've had players come through it. And now it's going to be about still committing to that. A player like Ronan has been fantastic since he's come in. Elias in goal as well as part of that. So, but it's now sort of time for us, in where we are in the evolution of our squad, to look at getting more supporting pieces around it and take it on a little bit further and quite frankly, go out there and win.
The other thing here is that there's going to be a lot of competition for the 21 players amongst all of the CPL teams in the off-season. But by the fact that we have led the way in terms of developing those young players, do you think that gives us an advantage when youngsters are faced with choices in terms of what CPL teams choose?
Absolutely. I think if you're a U21 player, and that was part of the reason I think Ronan chose us, because there's other teams interested. He knew coming here he'd get an opportunity to play, whereas at other clubs he wasn't so sure he'd get an opportunity to play. And he got that opportunity and got a lot of opportunity, deservedly so, because of how well he played.
It was a good chat. I had a beer with Ronan. I had Martin on the weekend.
I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
I'm told he's quite famous over here.
And he said it came down to that one club had really nice ice baths and all of this, and Ryland was really impressed with it. But his agent, his advisor said to him, well, that's all well and good, but this is the place that you're going to play. And it's not speaking about it, they've done it in terms of like, it's not a false promise. They've lived this, so yeah, it did help. It got us Ronan, and very, very happy that it did, because again, he's come in and hit the ground running.
A couple of other questions before we wrap things up here. Interesting one, not sure who submitted this, but fair play. Question for Gus, would you like Sebastian Giovinco to come play for York United? He's without a team and would love to play in Toronto. Perhaps get him to sign a contract and make a statement across the CPL. No pressure.
I mean, we've got Melba Burley.
And I guess that answers the question, everybody.
Yeah, look, it's not a pie in the sky comment. He lives a great life here in Toronto. Andrea, his agent, is a really good bloke as well. You never know.
I think if Sebastian Giovinco was signed for York United, certain Alex Pizzari's head would explode. But you know, maybe one day Alex will come true. Is it possible, Gus, to elevate the supporter stand to get a better view of the pitch for next season?
It's always like it's possible. Everything is possible, but we don't control the venue. York University have been fantastic partners through the first 3 years of this, because we skipped a year there at home. They're fantastic partners in this. It's very challenging for them with the rules, the regulations, everything that's been faced. We just don't own the building, as long as you're still. If we were able to think about temporary infrastructure, and that's great, in terms, but it is temporary. It comes at cost of doing something else that is long-term. And we have a pretty good long-term plan, and I'm sure you'll get a great view of the field when we're at one point.
Like it. There you go. Yeah, round of applause. Martin Gleicher, we mentioned him earlier on. He's done with the club, that's confirmed.
Yeah,
he's not coming back.
No, Martin's not. It wasn't the time to announce it when he sort of did depart the club. He suffered an injury that's caused him a fair bit of issues, a fair bit of problems. And so it was a mutual termination. We signed with Martin at the time he left, but it's not the time to go into that when the guy has sort of left the club with an injury. With something he's dealing with, but no, Martin won't be back, but very happy to say that we have agreed terms with Austin Ricci, and Austin Ricci is back and re-signed for next season.
Finally, a question on CPL on a wider scale. This was season four, but kind of not really season four. Three and a bit. You're privy to a lot of conversations behind the scenes. What's the feeling right now with new commissioner Mark Noonan in terms of where everything is headed with obviously the Canada World Cup near the year and then heading to 2026?
Yeah, Mark's been absolutely fantastic since he's come in. And we finished Board of Governors meeting in Toronto 10 days or so ago now. And some really, really exciting things coming down the line. Some phenomenal interest from the business world in Canada, and see what's being built, see the opportunity that was created that never existed before. And that's the phenomenal piece in all of this. You really look at it and you feel incredibly privileged to work in the last greenfield site in world football. You look at Canada as a country that is ranked certainly top five, but I think in the last few global surveys, like as the most desirable country in the world to live. You get to start the world sport in that country with a World Cup in 4 years' time and everything else. It's an incredibly privileged position that I feel I'm in, sort of working in the game here right now.
and it's an incredibly exciting time. Lots of excitement, lots to do, I just hope I'm not speaking to you all in the first couple of weeks of October next year, and we're doing this later into November, and there's a big shiny trophy and maybe a big dinner plate next to us as well.
I guess the final word should go to the gaffer. First season, it's been great having you here. What were you taking to the off-season with you in terms of your memories?
Yeah, I mean, I fondly think of the second half of the season and where we ended up, because it was a tough season, and but it was good. I learned a lot, had a great group of players to work with, and we got a great squad to build off of, so really looking forward to the future. I just want to say thanks to all the fans, all you guys, for supporting us throughout the year, and next year's going to be a lot better than this year.
I know you said final words, actually, but I just want to say final word as thank you to you guys as the fans, but also use this opportunity to thank all of the staff in the front office. They work with an incredible, incredible passion for this club, an incredible passion for delivering a product, and everything we said about this game in Canada and what's great about it, I think is embodied by the staff in the front office, coaching staff, everyone at this club, and yourselves as well. So, but especially the staff, thank you so much, guys. And I personally really appreciate all the work you put in.
Premier League.
Premier.
I thought it was professional.